morning, CBC. Let's try that again. Good morning. It's good to see you all here this morning. We've come this morning to give testimony to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're going to open this morning by singing, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." Why don't you stand with us as we begin in worship this morning? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior.
Perfect submission.
Perfect submission. All is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with His goodness, lost in His love.
Sing it out.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Why don't you take a minute this morning and turn and greet those around you in Jesus' name.
Welcome to the worship service of the true and the living God. I trust that you have come with a sense of anticipation, anticipating to God to speak and to minister and to touch your hearts this morning. If you are new to Community Bible Church, I want to give a special welcome to you. I'd ask that you would take out the white card. You can find it in the pocket of the back of the chair directly in front of you. Fill it out and place it in the offering plate as it comes by later on in the service. And again, I want to encourage each of you to consider sharing what's on your heart this morning with the pastoral staff. We'll be meeting tomorrow to pray, and in order to be able to pray for you personally and specifically, we need you to fill out that green card, whether it's a praise or whether it's a prayer request. If you have a church mailbox, you'll receive a pamphlet that says God's Heart for the World 2013 Missions Conference. It's hard to believe it, but we're in March, and in March, a community Bible church is about the missions conference and the missions auction, ultimately about getting our eyes refocused on the fact that Christ came not just to die for us or not just to die for people in this community, but from around the globe. And we want to encourage each of you to participate in the conference. There'll be a lot going on, and you can find out the information and details to that through this brochure. If you do not have a church mailbox, I would encourage you to stop back to the Welcome Center, and you could pick up this brochure back there. And while you're back there, I'd encourage you to let them know that you'd be interested in a church mailbox, so that way, on a weekly basis, we can be letting you know what's going on in the life of Community Bible Church. As part of the Missions Conference, we try to bless the missionaries when they come through missionary blessings. And missionary blessings are some requests that they've made before they come to the conference. And these requests are on 3x5 cards, and you can pick them up at the resource table. And if you pick up a card, it means that you're going to make that purchase and bring it back to the resource table. And if you say, well, what's on a card? What are the options? One of the missionary family is asking for a food processor. And then the other one is my favorite, Don Brubaker, who lives in Cameroon, North Africa, is requesting red beet eggs. So if you think you can handle red beet eggs, go ahead and see me for that card or pick up that card. Stop back there and see what's still left there. Opportunity for us to bless the missionaries. This morning, we want to bless Harold and Ruth Farey. Harold and Ruth sit in the very back. Ruth's on a wheelchair, but I think we can get her and Harold to stand. They are celebrating their 65th wedding anniversary this month. Go ahead. And I've asked Kathy, who is their daughter, to present them with flowers as a way to express our gratitude here at Community Bible Church for their godly example and their commitment to their wedding vows. Again, let's show our appreciation for Harold and Ruth and celebrate with them. This is week 6 of our 6-week sermon series on spiritual disciplines for ordinary people. And I would appreciate if you would take out this handout, the sermon notes in your bulletin this morning. And we're going to see how well you have been paying attention during the past 6 weeks. We're going to begin with a little quiz. How many of you think you can remember or recall the 5 spiritual disciplines that we've looked at? Okay, if you're really good, you'll be able to recall them in the proper order. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to a minute to take this quiz. One lady in the first service was able to find in her Bible the promo for the sermon series with all the answers. Okay, we call that cheating. This is what you can recall, okay? So don't be paging through your Bible looking for some cheat sheet. Okay, on your mark, get set, go. You can work together, okay? That's not cheating. You can work as a couple. You can work as a family. You can work as a neighbor. I'll also give you a couple hints. You might want to start at February 24th and work backwards. Pastor Todd spoke last week. Pastor Jim spoke the week before, February 17th. Does that help recall? I preached the first 3 weeks. Let me take the pressure off. If you do not do very well, it may have more to do with the guy who was up front communicating than you. Okay, so on your mark, get set, go. Okay, we will work at this together. See if you can jog your memory back to January 27th. What was the spiritual discipline we looked at to kick off this 6-week sermon series?
Prayer.
Very good. Nehemiah chapter 1. When I went to high school, we called that a kiss-up. The guy who sat in the front row and gave all the answers. Yeah, that's Jim. He was hoping for a chocolate bar. Thanks, Ken. He's like, I'm never going to participate again. Prayer, Nehemiah chapter 1. You want to just come up here and finish this for me? That was really good. Nehemiah chapter 1. We looked at the example of Nehemiah, and he prayed spontaneously as he went before the king. He also spent extended time with God because it says that he prayed and mourned and fasted for days. And we also talked about the fact that he was praying specifically for the king to have a change of heart. And so that was the week that we said for the month of February, we want to encourage each of you to spend some extended time with God in prayer and to put that on your calendar. I trust that many of you did that and followed through with that. February 3rd, we looked at what? Fasting. Very good. A spiritual discipline that the evangelical church in America, by and large, does not practice, at least regularly. And that message was titled Feasting on God. February 10th, we looked at the discipline of tithing. We normally don't look at spiritual discipline as a tithing, but it's a discipline that we need to incorporate into our lives, whether it's on a weekly or monthly basis. We looked at tithing from an Old Testament perspective, from a New Testament perspective. But what I wanted you to understand from that message on tithing is that we don't tithe because God needs the money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You normally don't tithe because Community Bible Church needs the money. God has incorporated tithing into the routine of our lives because of the spiritual value and benefit that it brings. February 17th, Pastor Jim spoke on Sabbath rest. A lot of times we know the discipline as of silence and solitude. And he talked about being still before God to get away from all the noise, all the chaos that's going on in our lives, to be still, to be silent, and to allow God to speak and to minister to our hearts in those quiet places. And then last week, Pastor Todd spoke about the spiritual discipline of fellowship. The fact that, yes, we do need fellowship. We need to have close relationships with our brothers and sisters to help us grow and mature. But for many of us, because of hurt that we've experienced from other Christians or from churches, that becomes a barrier that we need to work through in order to have the discipline of fellowship in our life. So as we wrap up this six-week sermon series this morning, I want to share with you a couple concerns. My first concern is this, is that you're going to walk away from this sermon series thinking that the goal of the Christian life is to practice the spiritual disciplines. The goal of the Christian life is not to practice spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are a means to an end. Take a look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 when he was posed with, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus replied, he's quoting from the Old Testament, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second, like it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. The Christian life is about a vertical relationship with the living God. It's not about do's and don'ts, rules and regulations. It's not about spiritual disciplines. It's about a relationship with the living God, and it's also about that relationship with the living God carrying over into our horizontal relationships. And I also want you to understand what Jesus said to his followers before he ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. God wants us to be his witnesses, to be his representatives, to be his incarnational presence on this earth wherever we are. Here at CBC, we talk about reaching out. So the goal of the Christian life, based on the Scripture, what we're called to is to love God, and out of our love for God, love others and reach out. That is the goal. So If you're taking notes this morning, the goal was not to practice spiritual disciplines. The goal was to love God, love others, reach out, all of that for His glory and for His honor. My second concern is this, is that spiritual disciplines will become a checklist to be followed and that the Christian life will become mechanical. God does not intend for the Christian life to become mechanical. The Christian life is not about a checklist to be checked off. Take a look at these verses in Galatians chapter 5. Paul says to the believers there, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." We need to practice the spiritual disciplines in the context of the Holy Spirit. The spiritual discipline should be an extension of our relationship with the living God. And as the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us and who guides us and who prompts us and empowers us, when we are silent and still, when we open up the Scriptures, when we pray, it's the Holy Spirit that's moving in and through us. So I want you to see the spiritual disciplines are never intended to make the Christian life this mechanical process. We need to carry out the spiritual disciplines, practice them in the context of the Holy Spirit that breathes life into us and ministers to us through the disciplines. And my last concern is this, is that we will view spiritual disciplines as a way to measure our spirituality and our worth with God. In other words, we begin to say to ourselves, well, if I read my Bible, I practice that discipline, and I pray, and I tithe, and I even fast, well, then I must be growing, I must be mature, I must be spiritual. God must be ultimately pleased with me. God's going to bless me because of what I do. That's a danger, that's a concern, because that's not the truth. You and I need to practice the spiritual disciplines in the context of the gospel. What do I mean by practicing the spiritual disciplines in the context of the gospel? We need to practice them in light of the cross, that Christ is the one who went to the cross. Through His death and resurrection, we are loved, accepted, adopted into His family, forgiven, eternally secure, based on who He is and what He's done for us, not based on what we do. And out of our love for Christ, we discipline ourselves so that we can grow deeper in our walk with Him. Take a look at the verse from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Exercise daily in God. Spiritual disciplines. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so. Making you fit both for today and forever. Spiritual disciplines are critical. If we're going to continue to grow and mature in our walk with God, we need to build the right disciplines, the right habits into our daily routines that will assist us in growing in our walk with God. But we need to do them, understanding there are means to an end. We need to practice them in the context of the Holy Spirit and practice them in the context of the gospel. This morning, the service is not going to be your typical Sunday morning service here at Community Bible Church. We're going to mix it up. We're going to take time this morning to celebrate what God has been doing in our lives. We're going to spend some extended time participating in worship. And so as we move into this next element of our service, let's just take some time to come before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can gather here to worship You, to lift up and to exalt Your name, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Sovereign God of the universe. Lord, I pray that You would stir our hearts this morning, that You would stir the affections of our hearts, not towards the things of this world, but towards You and Your Son. I pray that as we look to you and worship you, Lord, that we would have a clear picture of who we are and our desperation and our need for you. Lord, I thank you that as we are confronted with our sin, Lord, we don't need to beat ourselves up and live under condemnation. I thank you that there is forgiveness and grace found in the cross and through Christ. May we celebrate that this morning. Lord, thank you that we can worship you, not just with our singing, but that we can worship you with our tithes and our offerings. Lord, as we bring our tithes and our offerings this morning, we're acknowledging that all that we have comes from you. We're acknowledging that we're trusting you to be our provider. We're acknowledging that the things of this world are going to pass away and we're going to live for eternity with you. So, Lord, may we continue to worship you, for you alone are worthy of our praise this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
As Pastor Jeff shared, this morning is going to be a time of praise as we celebrate the work that the Lord's been doing in our lives over this past month and even beyond. And I'm excited later in the service to hear some stories and some testimonies that point to the Lord and what he's been doing in your lives. But for now, we're going to open up our time of worship here, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's hand. And I encourage you to take this time. We're going to have some extended time here, and I'm going to be providing some different ways to participate in worship this morning. And I encourage you to use this time to spend with the Lord himself through praise and through confession and through thanksgiving, that you would use this time to just draw close to the Lord and allow him to work on your heart. Now as we begin, I encourage you to meditate on these words that the choir will share with you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. Because He gave His everything.
Spirit of praise to our Lord. And as we consider the works that He's done, He alone is worthy to be given the credit for His power. me how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Splendor of the King.
The splendor of the King. Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice.
You are worthy of Proclaim right now that you are magnificent, that you are holy. Lord, your name is worthy. You alone are worthy. And Father, as we proclaim and focus on your greatness, we're reminded of our sinfulness. We're reminded, Lord, of our brokenness, that we don't measure up. We've fallen well short of your glory. And Father, we thank you this morning for the cross. We acknowledge that we are broken people in need of your grace. Lord, help us to be hungry for you. Help us to desire to know you more and to allow you to work in our lives. Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. Let's sing that again. Hungry, I come to you.
Hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, not run dry. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're
broken, I run to you.
Broken, I run to you, for your arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait.
I wait.
So I wait, wait for you. So
I wait for you.
I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're
we take a couple minutes here. From where you are, you can be seated if you'd like. If you want to remain standing, that's fine. David writes in Psalm 39, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let's take a couple minutes and just get real with the Lord and offer our hearts. Confess our sins. And know that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive. Pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. I'd like to take you to the New Testament, where Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." I'd like us to sing this song a little different than we know it. Let's sing, "You've created in me a clean heart."
You've created in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew the right spirit within.
Victory this morning.
You've renewed a the right spirit within me.
You believe that he's given you a new heart. You believe that he's made this day new.
We want to continue in worship, and we want to continue in worship by praising God and thanking Him for the work that He's done in our lives and hearts this past month. And so if you would take out your sermon notes, bulletin insert, and on the back of that handout, we have some questions. And again, we're going to give you a moment to take some time to reflect. We have some questions that helped you to guide you in that process. One of the questions that you can think through is, how has He worked in your life as a result of spending extended time with Him in the month of February? Again, we encouraged you to take out your calendar and to look at the month of February and to spend extended time with Him throughout that month. Try now to reflect back on some of those times that you spent with God. What did God do through your time with Him? How has God used one of the messages in this sermon series to speak to you? Think back through those spiritual disciplines, and was there a specific Sunday where God spoke to you in that service about that discipline? Or how has God used circumstances of this past month? How has God used others? How has God used a book that you're reading, primarily the Bible, to speak to you? Is there a passage that He's laid on your heart this month? Or how have you seen the Spirit of God at work in your life and in the lives of others? That was a question I posed to the staff on Monday morning, and it took us over an hour to answer that question. There was just sharing one example of another of how the Spirit of God has been at work in our lives and the lives of others. Because I work at a church, I had the privilege on Friday to take my lunch break and to leave the office and to go spend some alone time with God. Actually, it was on Thursday. It was February the 28th. And I was taken back by how blessed I was by just journaling all the things that I could praise and thank God for and the things that He showed me. And I actually wrote my journal this morning. And as I took a closer look at sharing that, I was like, you know what? This isn't for me to share. This is just between myself and God. But one of the things that I journaled was, God, it seems like You're doing so much more in this past month. And I'm not sure if it's because I'm more in tune to what You're doing or the fact that You are doing more as a response to our prayers. So I want you to just take the next minute or two and in the quietness of your heart, jot down or thank God for the things that He's been teaching you and showing you as a way to worship. And then I'll bring us back together and maybe you will have an opportunity to share that publicly. So let's just reflect on these questions. As we continue in worship, I want to give you the opportunity to come and to praise God for the work that He has been doing in your life or in the life of those around you. Again, it may be something as simple as just coming up and reading a verse. You don't need to comment on it, but we will know that God has been using that verse to speak to you. Or maybe it's just a verse from the Psalms praising God this morning. But again, this is your opportunity to come and to publicly share and praise God for His work.
In response to the second question, how have you seen the Spirit of God at work in your life or the lives of others? 2 weeks ago in student body, we did just a night of prayer. And in response to the month of February, just for prayer. And I don't know, probably in the last 2 weeks, if any of you have spoken to Pastor Jim, it's all he talks about. in the absence of a full-time youth pastor, just the way Pastor Jim has kind of rallied behind the leaders and has brought us all together to be able to put on a night like that, and then to have the kids, every single one of them, react in a mature way, that night was just unbelievable. So for those of you that have been praying for student body, I encourage you to just continue to pray for us. The kids there are really just, they're a great group of kids. If you're here and you don't come to student body, please come out. But God is just doing some awesome things in student body, and we just really enjoy the time that we get to spend with the kids on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings.
Thank you, Scott.
This past Thursday morning, most of you know I work night shift. 9:30 in the morning, the phone rang, which is very early for me, and Vicky's been sick, so she was still asleep alongside of me. And all she heard was, "Vicky Lynn." Her mother was calling. The phone went dead. Nothing. No response. I grabbed some clothes, put them on, out the door and up the street. And when I got to Mother's house, she was unconscious alongside the bed. The way I felt God at work in my life and hers, we got the medics out, got the ambulance, hauled her to the ER, and they discovered a blood clot in her lung that probably would have taken her life. So God gave her more time here on earth, and we're not quite sure why, but He does. So that's how He's been at work. Thank you.
I've been encouraged this week how God has been working in others. And it's been an amazing thing to see. I work for an organization called Friends in Action, and our job is to come alongside of missionaries who can't find ways to get to the people they're trying to reach. And we do this by building bridges and drilling wells. And right now we're building a road in the country of Vanuatu, which is right off the coast of Australia. And we have a fellow there who's been working alongside the missionaries. And during this rainy season when they can't build the road, they go out on outreaches to the tribal communities. And during the month of February, we were all praying for these outreaches that these missionaries were going on. And our road project leader goes with them, and he sends back reports. And over the course of the last month, 90 souls came to know the Lord through these outreaches. Praise the Lord. Okay.
During the last month, I've met with over 100 clients, and some of the experiences I've had, I've done the taxes for a man who died about 4 hours after I've done them. I had a lady come to the front door, and her leg was cut off. I had a mother call me about her daughter and her renegade boyfriend who impregnated her, and she didn't know what to do. And I sat back and I said, I got 4 children. I am so blessed. And they're mates. And I gave God the thanks for that. And I basically, when everybody leaves the office, I just try to give them a hug and encourage them. And I just felt that God gave me a good February. Even so, in some respects, when Pastor Jeff planned his five-step approach, I said, you could have picked a better month for me. But I just praise God for what I have. Thanks.
For those of you who don't know, he takes care of helping people with their taxes. So that's why February wasn't a good month.
Has God used a message in the sermon series to speak to you? I think last week when they were talking about how Pastor was spent 4 years really struggling sitting through church, that really spoke to me, because a lot of you probably don't know that I was actually removed from church membership for getting divorced about 5 years ago. And it took everything I had to go to church every Sunday. But I did, because I knew that just because people removed me from church membership didn't mean that God didn't love me. And I still go to church every Sunday, and I still sit here knowing that God loves me and that the people here at CBC have shown me great love. And I'm getting remarried this summer to a man that really loves me. And it's been such a huge blessing. And but I know that feeling that he had sitting in church every Sunday, just being there, feeling empty, and not knowing how to get back into church and knowing how to participate in church. Because when I was removed from membership, I was told that God would never use me again. And I'm here today knowing that God will use me and God can use me. And so I guess, I mean, the past 5 weeks, every message has been very special to me. But that's the one that really stuck out to me.
Thank you, Joy. Tim.
My wife was diagnosed with breast cancer last August, and her chemo treatment was every 21 days. For 6 treatments, they gave her the whole cocktail of drugs, like 6 or 7 of them, whatever. Then she went in last week to start her radiation treatment, but they had to map out where the breast cancer was. So they gave her a mammogram. They didn't see nothing, so.
Praise God. It's awesome. Thanks, Brenda.
My husband and I have been married for 16 years, and we have 2 beautiful children that God gave to us through infant adoption. In 2006, Keith and I felt like God was asking us to adopt an older child through foster care. And so we had an agency come to our house and talk to us. And after the presentation, at that time, our kids were 3 and 4. We felt like, okay, this is a little more than what we can handle at this time. Maybe later, but not right now. In 2011, Keith and I felt like God was asking us to adopt an older child. So we went and had our home study redone, and we went through the whole process of the training, and we started waiting. And we would get emails for children that were in foster care, and there just wasn't anything that spoke to our hearts that those kids were for our family. And we waited about a year, and that was the fall of 2011 that we started. December of this past year was about a year. And we thought, maybe we misheard God. Maybe he didn't want us to do that after all. We were hitting a point where we'd have to redo things to update our home study, and maybe we didn't want to go through that process again. And somebody brought to our attention 2 boys that were on the SWAN website, 2 brothers. And so we pulled it up and we looked at it, and both of us felt like this is something we need to pursue. So we did. We had our profile sent in to that county, and we started asking our family and our friends to pray for us, that God would make this clear, that we did not want our will, we wanted God's will, and we did not want God to put these children in our home if it was not His will for them and His will for us. And so we just wanted Him to make it clear and take it out of our hands or bring it all together. And then Pastor Jeff talked about fasting. So Keith and I started fasting, and we had some incredible friends that started to fast with us. 2 weeks ago, we were called, well, 3 weeks ago, we were called saying that the county wanted to interview us. So 2 weeks ago, we went and interviewed with the county, and we were just clearly praying that God would make it clear to every person that needed to make that decision and to us that if we were to be the family for these boys, that it would be clear. So we went through this interview, and it went very well, and there wasn't anything that sent up red flags for us. And at the end, I asked them, how many families are you interviewing for these boys? Because they had told us they had received an overwhelming response for these boys from all over the country. So I asked, how many more families are you going to interview? And they said, basically, we put everything on hold until you give us your answer. The one caseworker said, I looked through all of the profiles and I picked out ones that were good fits for these boys, but your profile spoke to me as the best fit. She said, and then I gave the profiles to the other caseworker and she looked up at all of them and she picked out what she thought were a good fit for the boys, but something spoke to her about our profile and we were the best fit. And Keith and I were sitting there like, whoa. Like, this is what we prayed for, that God would make it clear to every person, and He did, and He made it clear to us. So the next day, Keith was working, and I was cleaning the house and just processing all of this, and God brought something to my mind, that in 2006, when we felt like we were supposed to adopt an older child, that was the year that the oldest brother was born. In 2011, when we felt called again to pursue this, that was the year these boys were placed into foster care. And in 2012, when we thought maybe we misheard God, that was December of 2012 was the month that their picture was put on the SWATN website. And it just floored me that every moment of every day, God is working in our lives, and we may not be able to see it, but He is, and if we just pray to follow His will, even though we don't know if He's directing us, He will direct us if we pray for that.
Amen. Thank you, Brenda.
I just thought I'd share this. I am substitute teaching for or in some local districts, local public schools, and this just happened this week on Thursday. I was in a first grade classroom, and the teacher had left in her plans for me to read a book that is about a little girl named Ruby Bridges, who was the first African-American girl to be in an all-white school. And just to let you kind of know what happened in class, I just have to tell you a little bit about what the book is about. Ruby goes to school, and she's surrounded by these violent mobs of people who don't want her there. And someone notices that she looks like she's talking to them. And later the person goes over and asks her, what were you saying to them? And she says, I was praying for them, praying that God would forgive them. This is all in the story that I'm reading to the students. And I stopped and asked them, does anyone know any other story where someone prays and asks God to forgive people? And they all kind of look at me blankly. And I said, in the Bible, we read about Jesus who was on the cross and prayed that God would forgive people. He did nothing wrong, and he was nailed to the cross. And one little child raised her hand and said, "To save our souls?" And I said, "Yes, to save people." And that was only part of the conversation that happened kind of throughout the day with the little first graders. So praise God for what he's doing in schools in our area.
Amen. We want to continue to be aware of how God is at work all around us, using us, whether it's in all sorts of situations. We have the opportunity to praise and worship him through giving ourselves to him each and every week. And thank you for sharing how God has been at work in your life. This time, Jason and the worship team is going to come out, and we're going to close out the service with a couple medleys.
I feel like we need to give the Lord a clap offering this morning for the work he's been doing. Amen. Wow. We serve an amazing God that can heal someone of breast cancer and can do so many other things. Why don't we close this morning? We're going to sing a few songs here. Choruses, you know. We won't have the words on the screen. We'd love it if you sang along. You can stand if you'd like to. Let's just offer up our praise as we close out this morning.
Awesome God, he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God, he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. I exalt thee.
the same awesome God that we worshiped and sung about and sung to this morning goes with us into our week. Let's continue to keep our eyes on Christ as we go from this place. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege, the opportunity that we have to come into this room this morning as brothers and sisters and to lift up your name, the King of Kings. Lord, we're thankful for who you are and what you've done in our lives and all that you've made available through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray this morning. Amen.